familiar to you? Any of those questions that you heard, do they sound like things maybe you even asked on the drive in here today? The things that you are experiencing in your life. So many questions about this big, mysterious God that we serve. So many questions. The big question is, I think for most of us, is do we actually have the courage to listen and wait for the answer? Because I actually think most of our work is in the answers, not the questions. If you think about it, the questions actually can keep us far away from God, can't they? Like if we just keep spinning and spinning and spinning and asking question after question after question after question without an answer, there's even no reason for us to even act on it. You ever ask a question and it just spins and you're like, God, where are you? Where are you? What's the answer? What's the answer? I actually think that some of the answers to our questions would actually scare us to death if we really knew. And is it possible that it is actually the grace of our mysterious God that keeps some of those questions unanswered? Because it's very possible that our finite brains can't even handle it. So maybe we're asking a set of the wrong questions. Because it seems like to me, so many of our questions are about ourselves, isn't it? It's about us, us, us. What about me, God? What about me, God? What about me, God? And what if the freedom that we can find in the mystery of God is answered in the question of God? How are you revealing yourself to me today? How can I see you today? Maybe those are better questions to ask of a mysterious God. So before the moment passes too soon, I want you to take a minute, even if it's just 30 seconds, take 30 seconds and think about what your question is for God today. Or what are your questions for God today? So I just want you to just take a deep breath and just take a handful of seconds and think about that. What are my questions for God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our lives today. We thank you, God, for this moment. We thank you that we will never, ever have a moment quite like this one, ever again. So, Lord, help us to be fully present. Help us to receive everything that you want us to get today. Lord, help us to be open. Help us to learn. Help us to have the courage to wait for the answers to those questions. We are listening today. It is in the mysterious name of Christ that we pray. All God's people said, amen. Good morning. How are you feeling today? Oh, good. That was 12 of you. That's good. That's a good start. Hi, my name is Nikki Lerner. If we haven't met yet, I'm happy to sort of meet you right now. Welcome. Welcome to church. It's a good day to be alive, isn't it? Good. That was at least 25 of you. We're off to a good start. It is a good day to be alive. Questions, mystery about God. Does God just seem mysterious to you? Yeah? How many of you would say, like, he's just a mystery to me? Great, 5 of you. That's great. God is mysterious, and there's so many questions about him that we have. And the crazy thing is that all we know is hopefully what we read in the scriptures about him. We have so many questions about God. Some of them revolve around, you know, God, what is my purpose? Or what job should I take? Or should we have some babies? Or whatever that is. But oftentimes, I think there are deeper seated questions that roll around in us. Why am I here? When is it gonna change? When will you allow me to strangle that person that gets on my nerves? Those are the deep questions that we ask. We serve this mysterious God that at many moments just seems so unknown. And for most of us, if we're honest, kind of scary. The crazy thing to me is we have all of these questions around who God is and who we are. And yet at the same time, we are still the same people that sing, I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Right? Aren't we the same people? We are the same people, yes. So what happens when things come into our lives and we are the people that sing, I believe in you, I believe in you, the God of miracles, and then a trial comes our way and say, oh, here we go. Is that you? It's me sometimes, right? Or we sing, you have won the victory, yes, Lord, and then an hour later we're like, see? When it rains, it pours. Things always happen. Aren't we the same people? What's wrong with us? Because do you do this too? We come in, we sing. I actually think that we sing way more faithful than we speak sometimes. Don't we? I'm thankful that God knows us enough to know that that is actually who we are. That in one breath we can sing songs of faith and victory, and in the next moment we can question where he is, right? This has been my life. So many questions, along with so many answers, and oftentimes I become more confused as God works in my life. But I have found out that the more that I live and the more that I learn about who Jesus is, the more mysterious he continues to be. You ever find that? Anybody else ever find that, like, the more you read about him, the more you experience him, it just opens up to more questions? I don't like that. It's supposed to be all answered for us. But we have so many questions about God. What is your question for God, about God, or about yourself? Because as I mentioned, oftentimes I think we are asking the wrong questions about this mysterious God. I remember as I was growing up, one of the biggest mysteries for me in my life was about my father. And if you allow me for a minute, I want to introduce you to my father. So if you guys have that picture of my dad, that's my dad. Look at that coat. Not a good coat. And the turtleneck with the stripe. Yeah. I can't tell if that's denim or corduroy or a mix of both. I don't know. I think it was in the 70s maybe. But anyway, this is my dad. This is Ronald Xavier Laws. Right, Ronald Xavier Laws. My husband always said if we ever had kids, he said to me, looked at me and said, you know, I really want to honor your dad. And I like the name Malcolm for our kid if we have him. And I really want to honor your dad. And maybe the middle name could be Xavier. And that would be a strong name. And I'm like, you ain't fooling nobody. You just want to call our kid Malcolm X. My husband's way more militant than I am, and he's white. So so anyway, this is my dad, Ronald Xavier Laws. And you can go to the next picture, guys. So these are my parents. As you can see, I get my height from my dad. My dad was 6'4". My mother, Wanda, was 5'2". And all I have of my dad are stories that other people have told me about him, because my father died when I was one. So I didn't know him. So as I was growing up as a kid, these are some literally some of the only pictures I have of my dad. And I would ask and be so curious about who is this man? Because all I knew when I was growing up is that I'd be in this family and I didn't really look like anybody. Literally, I was towering over everyone in the family and didn't always know what the deal was. And I would keep asking my family, who is this guy? Like, what was he like? Was he funny? Was he mean? Was he, I don't know, graceful? I don't know, whatever, right? All I know is that he was tall, he was funny, he was an artist, a visual artist, a painter. I can't paint a stick figure. I have other gifts. But that's who he was. You can go to the next picture. This is also a picture of my parents. Look at that afro on my mom. But so my dad was this huge mystery to me, and all I had to go off of were these stories that people would tell in my family. And the crazy thing was is that they only had so many stories because he died so young. I think my dad was 26 when he died. And so then what happened was my dad passed away, and then my mom remarried when I was 2 or 3 to my stepfather. And that started a whole another slew of questions for me in my life. But he was this huge mystery. But I remember, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but when I was presented with the gospel of Jesus, it reminded me a lot of how I interacted with the story of my dad. Because all we have of the stories of Jesus are what other people tell us. You realize that? And in the gospels, we only have so many years of who Jesus was that we get to make a decision on who he is and trust him and believe him about who he is. He's mysterious. My dad, super mysterious. I have so many questions about who I am because of who he was. There are some things I know, but it just scratches the surface, and I have so many questions. Some of our questions, like mine, are, you know, God, why did you take him? Some of our questions go deep, like, God, where were you? Some of our questions go deep that say, God, why aren't you moving? And oftentimes we can get stuck. Why did she leave? Why did he die? The mystery as well as the frustration we have concerning our life of faith is real. And the frustration can fuel the mystery of God even more. Let me ask you this. When you think about the mysteries of God, the thing that you don't know, when is the last time that you've actually said, wow? Do you remember the last time you said, wow? What about with your life? When is the last time that you said, wow? Because I guarantee you, any of you that are sitting here and you still made it through life this far, wow. Say it with me. Wow. You made it through high school. Wow. Right? You made it through preschool. Wow. Right? When is the last time that you've looked at your life and just said, wow? When is the last time that you've actually asked a question of the Lord and just said, wow? So instead of, God, where were you? It's, God, why did you heal that person? Wow. God, why are you allowing me to walk through this? Wow. I want to tell you that the mystery of God is in a transformed life. That is the mystery of God. Do you realize that? Because have you seen it out there? It's crazy. Isn't it crazy out there? It's crazy out there. Not many people are looking for a transformed life like we know it in Christ. And so when you go from old creation to new creation, you know what that sparks? Wow. You are not the same person you were a year ago. For better or for worse. Wow. Practice it with me. You're not the same person you were a year ago. Wow. You woke up this morning. Wow. The transformed life is actually the mystery of God, because it's kind of like, how does that happen? How does that happen? How does belief in Christ lead to, wow, look at that, the mystery of God, the transformed life. Wow. If you're following Christ right now and you see the change in you, that is the answer to the greatest mystery of God, is that you are different. You are not the same person you were. You don't think the same way that you used to think. You are more loving, more kind, more gentle. Wow. Because you know you can't be those things on your own. And in fact, we could argue that there's no reason for you to be kind and gentle and good in 2019. Right? There's no reason for you to make the sacrifice of having goodness come out of your life in 2019. There's no reason for that other than the mystery and the beauty of who Christ is. I want to read this scripture together. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to be awed and wowed at this mystery of who God is. This is Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, but any translation will do. Here's Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Scripture says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." Verse 5, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." Now check this out. It says, "This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." Let's go back up to verse 3 for a minute, because this is very important for us to know. It says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So God has given us favor and goodness with every spiritual blessing. And do you know what the scripture says? It says that he has blessed us. Do you know how important it is for us to understand that? He has blessed us. Not that he will once we die, but that he has, which means that it's present and it's now. Did you know that you have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Maybe you didn't. That's okay. It's good news today. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, when you know that, you may pray differently. Oh, God, would you bless us today? He already has. You don't need to pray that, by the way, because according to the scripture, you already have it. Pray something else. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ right now in its fullness. It says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's keep reading. "Now, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us." Now, stop there for a minute. Let that blow your mind for a minute. Before the world began, God loved you. Wow. Does that still give you chills, people of God? Does the scripture, does the truth about who Christ is, does it still move you? Or have we gotten to a place sometimes where we're like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know how God works. Yep, nope, got it. Love me, got it. Do you ever find yourself walking that way somehow? Oh yeah, God loves me. Like, do you realize that Before you existed, you were loved. Before you existed on the earth, you were chosen. Doesn't that make you walk into your purpose a little differently? If you already know that you are loved and chosen, you don't have to ask the question, well, I don't know, God, did you choose me? There's a gap. There's a gap there in what we know to be true and what happens when we try to move forward in it. When you know that before the world began, the God, this mysterious God of the universe, actually loved you and chose you, you walk differently. You see yourself differently. When you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you look in the mirror differently, don't you? Oh, God, you know, I just need to get rid of this. No. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Well, I don't know if I can do that. No. What's the truth? God chose me, loved me before the world began. And if that blows your mind too much, just know that I've heard this. Those of you that have had children, right, you get this. Bring it down to that. You get this. You get that before your child is even here, right, you know them. Would that be accurate? Right, particularly for women, right? You carry that person, right? Now, again, I've heard this. I haven't experienced this, but you carry that person. You know that person. You know that person before they show up, right? And even before they show up, you have already decided that you love them. Yes? You love them. You know them so that by the time they show up, can you imagine if your kids were like, what do I need to do in order to get you to love me, Mom? What do I need to do to, you know, did I do enough today so that you love me? You can't imagine that, right? But we treat God like that all the time. What can I do, God? Well, I didn't smoke a cigarette today, so I'm good. Well, I didn't curse today, so I'm good. So what we end up doing is we get into sin management, right? And be like, well, as long as I didn't do these six things, then I'm good and God loves me, I'm good. No. Go ahead and smoke the cigarette. God chose you and loved you before you existed. Now, I'm not a proponent for smoking. And I'm a singer, so, you know, yeah, keep it out of there. But you get my point. Is when you realize that you didn't even exist and you were loved and chosen, you walk forward and fully into what God has asked you to do and not let the questions and the mystery hold you captive from moving forward in Him. It is so important for us to know who God is and what the truth about Him is. We have been chosen and loved before the world. And then He said that this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Did you know that you're not a burden to God? Do you know that you're not a burden to God? I think most of us struggle with this sometimes. Well, here I come again, God. I'm praying again. Oh, coming again. Oh, well, you know, God got me out of that thing over there. I don't know. I probably just have to live with this. When we know that God choosing us, loving us, adopting us is something that He wanted to do, our actions are different. The way that we think about ourselves is different. When you know that you bring pleasure to God. Some of you need to hear that this morning. You bring pleasure to God because you exist, because He created you. You don't have to make sure you check off every month, oh, I went to church three times, and God loves me. No. Like, come to church. You have to know that you didn't do anything in the first place to earn God's love, and you don't have to do anything now. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died. So you were all up in your mess, I was all up in my mess, and God still came, and he was the great pursuer of our lives. And he was all up in your mess after you started following him too. Believe that. Believe that. The sin that you struggle with after you start walking with him, he's there. He saw all of it, by the way. He saw all of it. But just know that when he comes to get us and bring us into the family of God where we belong, that he did it because he wanted to. And it gave him great pleasure. You have to know that. You are not a burden to God. You are his pleasure. Every single moment that you are alive. This is so important for us to know. So let's go to verse 6. So then it says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Can we just pause a minute and say, wow. Oh, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. And forgave our sins. And he has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and all understanding. Doesn't this sound like fullness from the scripture rather than, I don't know if God's going to show up today? No. The scripture says, these are the things the scripture says. He is poured out. He is so rich. He has showered, not sprinkled. He has showered. When you know that God is so rich in kindness, that makes you walk differently. It makes you respond differently. It makes you pray differently. When you know that the God, the mysterious God that you serve, is rich, wealthy, full of kindness for you, you no longer ask the question, well, God, am I being punished for this? Because according to this, God is rich in kindness. It doesn't say he's rich in judgment. That would be a terrible scripture. I wouldn't read that one to you today. Right? It doesn't say God is so rich in judgment. No. It says he is rich in kindness. It says he has poured out. He has showered us with wisdom and understanding. So when you come to him in prayer, your prayers change from, oh, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you help me understand? To, God, I know that you have given me wisdom and understanding. I know it because that is who you are. God, expand my capacity to see where it is. Oh, that's a different prayer. Isn't that a different prayer? That's a different prayer because what that assumes is fullness. It assumes the fullness of wealth, understanding, wisdom. So now you're saying, God, I know it's there. Help me see it. Because I know it's there. I don't have to wait for God to show me wisdom. Wisdom exists. Wisdom is there. And now all I have to do is go looking for it. Oh, go looking for it. You know how they say sometimes when you're about to buy a new car, you know, and you say you want a yellow Beetle. I don't know, I made that up. Or a Maserati. You pick. But wait, let's say a Maserati, a red Maserati, okay? So you want a red Maserati, and at that point you're thinking, I'm gonna go buy a red Maserati. You see red Maserati everywhere, right? Or you see a yellow Beetle everywhere. You're like, God, you know, I just want, I don't know, an SUV with a lift gate that just, I just do this and, you know, just go, woo, you know, like it just does that. Well, before you didn't see it, right? Now you see it all the time. Think about how that changes our spiritual life when we approach God, mysterious God, like that. Like that. God, I know there's wisdom here today. Help me find it. God, I know there's understanding. Help me find it. God, I know that you have showered your love, showered your grace, showered your goodness on us. Help me see it. Rather than, Lord, I don't know when you, I don't know where you're working. Because trust me, that works too. God, when you gonna show up? What do you see? God not showing up. Well, God, when you gonna change the world? What do you see? God not changing the world. God, when my coworker gonna leave me alone? Well, all you see, my coworker not leaving me alone, right? But just consider that for a minute. God, where are you working? Wow, I see it. Some of you in this room have been through so much in the last 2 months, and here you are, standing again at church, still allowing God to change you. Wow. Because that is the mystery of God, is the power of a transformed life, is the power of the believers who know who their God is based on what they read and what we have experienced, that we will walk differently, we will act with more courage. We will believe him when he says that he would never leave us or forsake us. How might our spiritual lives change if we start asking better questions? God, where are you working? God, where are you pleased with me today? God, where are you showing up today? Lord, where do I see your wisdom today? God, where do I see your miracle and your healing today? I guarantee you, if you start asking those questions, those things will show up. Let us be the ones, people of God, who are willing to ask those questions. Because trust me, an unbelieving world already is taking care of the others. So let's leave that to them. Let's leave the where's God question. Let's leave that to the unbelieving world. It'll still be there. It's not like you're ignoring it. It's still there because they'll bring it up. Where were you? Why aren't you here? Because that's all we're going to see. And God is trying to tell us there's more. There's more than I'm trying to show you. So check this out. Then he says in verse 11, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received, remember, present, we have received an inheritance from God. Oh, I like that word, y'all. Inheritance. We have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Here's the deal. The questions that we have for God, if we knew the answer, we would run. Don't you think? If you knew what it would take to be the person that you are right now, the beautiful, loving, kind, complex, confused at times, but faithful person that you are right now, if you knew this 8 years ago, would you still do it? Would you still say, yes, Lord, I want to walk through that? Would you still want to do that? Probably not. I don't know about you. I might not have the courage to do it. So maybe it's a grace that God has not answered your question. Because for some of you, the answer is not good enough. For me, when I ask God about my parents, God, why would you let my dad die when I was one? Like, what's that about? God, why would you let my mother die when I was 21? What's that about? Why do I gotta be an orphan? Let's say that God showed up and God said, Nikki, because that's how he talks. But God said, Nikki, you know why I took your parents? So that my glory could be revealed. Not good enough, God. It's not good enough. And I love you. And I believe you. Anybody else willing to admit that with me? Me and a couple others. Rest of y'all more spiritual. But you know, some of the deepest tragedies in our life, that answer is not good enough. That answer is not good enough. So I would rather have it be a little mysterious who my father was. Maybe he was a jerk. I don't know. And I'm happy I don't know. Right? Maybe I never would have met God. Maybe he didn't know God. I don't know. But I'm happy just to not know. What I do know is this. I'm a person without parents, and it makes me a better leader. It actually helps me see people more. You know why? Because I know what it feels like to not belong. I know what it feels like to feel like you have no footing. I know what it feels like around Christmas and Thanksgiving and to figure out where you're going to go. I know what that feels like. Don't you? The tragedies in your life. You know what that the results of that, what that feels like. And I know for myself and maybe for you too that that pain and those questions actually help you love people better if you allow it to. If you allow it to. It's possible that the answers to your questions will never be good enough for you. So here's what I challenge you to do. I want you to practice your wow this week. Can you do that? In fact, this week, I made my wow list. It's here in my journal. It's right here. And it's beautiful because I wrote at the top of the page, what is my practice of wow? Where did I see wow today? And here's what I wrote. On Tuesday, I had money in the bank. Wow! Right? One day at a time. On Wednesday, I had options. Wow. Some of y'all don't have no options, right? But when you do have options, wow, you have options. You can make choices. 80% of the world can't, but you can. On Thursday, it was a beautiful, warm day in Maryland. Oh, wow. In November? Come on. Right? Make your practice wow. How do you do that? A couple of things I want you to think about and consider. Your practice of wow. Respect the mystery of God this week. Just respect that there are some things that you may not want to know. Honestly. And honestly, even if you knew, your brain couldn't handle it. Like literally, your brain couldn't handle it at all. So respect the mystery of God. The second thing is poke the scriptures with joy and curiosity. The things you don't understand that you read in scripture, poke it. Poke it like, what is that? What does that mean? Well, I don't get that. See, we treat the scriptures like they're glass. You know, like, ooh, don't want to question that. It might break, you know. And next thing you know, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I don't think it works that way, right? If our scriptures about who God is, God revealing himself, are worth anything and worth our lives following them, they are worth poking. I want to tell you that. They are worth poking. Lean in. Poke them. Why was Jesus the way he was? Did Jesus laugh? Did he tell jokes? I don't know. That's the stuff I ask. I poked scriptures. Why not? He was fully man. I like to think he was funny. But you know what I'm saying? Your scriptures can be poked because they stand up. They stand up, and they're worth poking. And make it wow you. Here's another thing to think about. Be aware of the ordinary and label it extraordinary. That'll help your practice of wow. God, my car works today. Wow. A deer hit me 2 weeks ago, and I'm fine. Wow, all I saw was some antlers and an eye. I was like, wow. God, I got through school. Wow. Right? I haven't strangled nobody at work yet. Wow. Some of y'all need to pray that. Put it on your list. Right? I had food in my fridge today. Wow. I got a roof over my head today. Wow. I just got engaged. Wow. My son has been healed. Wow. I just learned English. Wow. I just had a baby. Wow. I'm eating cereal and I love it. Wow, like everything, I'm telling you, everything, because we like to keep God on these binary things. I mean, I talked about singing before, but you think about the worship songs we sing and we're like, Lord, I wanna love you, or you love me like a hurricane. No, I think I prefer like a gentle mist. Just to, you know, I've seen hurricanes. I'm like, no thanks, it's okay. You know, or God, I see you in the tornadoes and the lightning and the, see, everything's so binary. It's like, it's either extraordinary all the way over here or it's nothing. And I think God is trying to get us to say, no, it's literally in the day-to-day moments, I'm revealing myself to you in everything, and it's up to you to see it. It's up to you to see it. Where is your practice of wow? Here's another thing. Be mindful of the meaning you ascribe to things. Some things happen in our lives and they're just terrible. Period. Period. And we can be okay with that, because what we can hold at the same time is something's really terrible and God is still on the throne. We can hold those two things at the same time. So be aware of the meaning you put on the things in your practice. Wow. Like, oh, I got a new job. Wow, God's moving. Or, oh, I just got fired from my job. Where's God? Maybe he's moving in both things. Here's the third thing, last thing to think about. Capture the mystery of God and all of your questions. Literally, write it down. Write it down. For 7 days, I'm giving you 7 days. For 7 days, practice wow. Practice wow when you go to the doctor. Practice wow with your spouse. Baby, I love it when you take the trash out. Wow. A lot of ladies in the house, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Man, baby, I just appreciate the way you care for our children. You know what I really appreciate about you? I love that when I come home, you smile at me when I walk in the door. Wow. See, those are the things we forget about God revealing himself. Find the smile in your husband or your wife. Find the smile in your children. Find it. Find your practice of wow. The mystery of God lies in a transformed life. And then even in a transformed community. Because a world that doesn't know God, Jesus says it when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it says it doesn't have him and it's not looking for him. Of course, why would an unbelieving world be looking for the Holy Spirit? But I got to tell you something. When they see your life, wow. How did that happen? Why are you still pressing? How did you persevere? Why are you kind? Why are you good? Why is there joy? Because I guarantee you, those are the things that are missing in our world right now. And that's what will help an unbelieving world see Jesus in the life of believers. The mystery, his mystery, is that he has transformed us. Knowing us from the creation of the world, remember, you were chosen and you were loved before you even existed here. Allow that this week to propel you forward. Ask the right questions. Instead of, where are you, God? Where are you? I don't see you, Lord. I want to see you, Lord. God, expand my capacity to see where you are moving and to respect your mystery, knowing I probably can't handle the answer anyway. And thanks be to God that he has done these mysterious divine setups in our life. That the things that we have walked through, the things we have experienced, or so that we could see the revealed mystery in our own lives, that we are changed. The old is gone, the new has come. Lean in and press in.